So we're beginning a certain sense a brand new sugya in terms of Bishul, but it's not really a Bishul sugya. It happens to appear in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch in the context of Bishul, but it's really more of a general question relating to the Shabbos. Namely, if a person went ahead and did Bishul b'Shabbos, or for that matter went ahead and did other malachas. Went ahead and did.
Whoever's on the phone, could you put your phone on mute, please?
So a person went ahead and did Bishul, or for that matter, went ahead and did any other malacha, what are the consequences? Is one permitted to benefit from that malacha on Shabbos, after Shabbos? Can he benefit? Can somebody else benefit? Someone who it was done for, a stranger? So all the parameters of this halacha of post-malacha being done, what exactly is the status? So in Shulchan Aruch, it appears in Simen Shin Yerches, and I didn't have a Bishul, only because that's the case that the Tanoim Ma'am was discussed. I'm a Vashal B'Shabbos, but as we'll see, it applies to many, many other malachas, perhaps all malachas, maybe there may be a few that are exceptions to the rule. So we're going about to start a somewhat of a long sugya, a Vashal B'Shabbos, B'Shegim, amazing. So the sugya starts, I guess I get it, a little bit in Yana Diyoma, the sugya actually begins in Maseches Chulin, on Daf Yedalan Amid Aleph, in a sugya that's very much related to Yom Kippur. The Mishnah begins, Ashechet B'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. If a person went ahead and violated an Avera, and he shechted an animal on Shabbos, or he went ahead and he violated an aver and he shechted an animal on Yom Kippur. So even on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to shech, but not on Yom Kippur and obviously not on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? What are the ramifications of that shechita? So the Mishnah says, Afal pishir mischai benafsho, even though the person is chayav, again, the term mischai benafsho means a little bit different for Shabbos than it does for Yom Kippur. And Shabbos, of course, one is chayav skila. On Yom Kippur, the onesh of Michal Yom Kippur is not bidei other, rather it's bidei shemayim. So it's chayav kares. Again, it doesn't make much of a difference for our purposes. Both of them obviously are very serious aveiros. Nevertheless, the Mishnah includes shechita sekshera. The shechita is in fact kosher. So that's the starting point of the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah is not that focusing on the Hilchos Shabbos dimension because this Mishnah happens to be in Chulin, so it's teaching the halachas of shechita. So the Mishnah just wants to emphasize that even though you did a terrible aveira and you chayav skila, but the good news before you get to the base of skila, they'll give you a good meal. I mean, the meat is a kosher. The shechita, but the eved would be acceptable. So really, as an aside, the Rishonim are very, very bothered with this question, how could the shechita be kosher? Nothing to do with the fact that you did an aveira per se, in terms of consequences, but the Rishonim are very bothered with the technical question, how are you a kosher shochet? Because one of the halachas is that a shochet has to be Jewish, and if a person, although they're technically Jewish, but they're acting, behaving in a way that's not indicative of the way a Jew should behave, so sometimes they get the status in halacha, what's called the dino ka'akom. For example, if a Jew worships idols, so even though he's technically still Jewish, if he's chozer b'tshuva, he doesn't have to reconvert. If he's makadosh anisha, the woman needs a get, but he's dino ka'akom, he's treated like a non-Jew, and one of the areas of halacha that is not Jewish is concerning shechita. So if you have someone who's an idol worshiper, even though he's technically Jewish, if he shechts an animal, the animal is an avela, according to most poskim, it's actually an avela midaraisa. That din, that if someone's an ovid of a zohar, is dino ka'akom, is a real din deraisa. Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Chulin that if a person is mechal Shabbos for hesia, if a person publicly desecrates Shabbos, he also takes on the status of someone who is dino ka'akum. Whether that really applies with manazeh in any shape or form is highly, highly questionable for a variety of reasons. The halach only applies if a person is amazed, it only applies to a person who's really doing it for hesia mamish. And again, there are a lot of reasons why that particular halach category probably doesn't really play out with manazeh all that often. But at least theoretically, someone who's in Mechal Shabbos for Hesia could potentially be labeled as a quote-unquote like an Akum, and therefore the Shechita would be no good. So Tosis on the spot, and the Rav on the spot, are all bottom of the Kasha, how could the Shechita be kosher? Why don't we disqualify the Shechita? Because we disqualify the Shechit. If he's Shechit B'Shabbos, that's a pretty big act of Chil Shabbos. So everybody has what the answer to that Kasha. Maybe he only became a Chal Shabbos after the Shechita is over. Maybe the Shechita preceded the Chal Shabbos. Maybe he didn't do it for Hesia. Maybe he didn't do it enough time. There are a lot of technical answers to that question, but that's not really a sugya. Then, to add to the sugya, the Acharonim are bothered with another technical question. There's a Gemara in Maseches Tamura that speaks about the following shaila. If a person does something that the Torah says not to do, so if I did it anyway, can it be halakhically effective? Means that what's called the Ovid Lo Mahani, the Torah says don't do X, Y, and Z, I go ahead and I violate the Torah, maybe we should say that the Torah cancels what I did. Means what I did wasn't Chal. So the Acharonim go to town with this Kasha, why don't we cancel the Shechita? Since the Torah said, you weren't supposed to shecht, so you went ahead and violated the Torah. Not only did you violate an avera, let's declare the shechita to be psula. So the Achron give many tirits of why that's not a kasha. But neither of those parts is asugya. Our part is, when all the kashas are answered, so the bottom line is the Mishnah stands, that a person shechts on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur, so even though he did an avera, he's chayv karis, skila, etc., the shechita is kosher.
All those material, all those restrictions would be mitzvah rabbanon, right? The chora you couldn't say it would be mitzvah raisa, then actually.
Which restrictions? Well,
whether or not you're going to pass avlam hani or
whatever. No. Those are the mitzvah raisa. You have avlam hani is the mitzvah raisa. The sugya of Nasek Mumal Chotar Kula is a Shach says in your day is real din deraisa. So those two questions that the Rishon and the Chorim are bothered with are real potential psalm deraisa. So you have to figure out all the sugyas of Yavin Lamhani, all the sugyas that try to figure out what the answer is. The sugya of Yavin Lamhani is a very complicated sugya. The beginning of Maseches Tamura. It appears in the Daf Hey, above Zion, the first couple of Daf in Maseches Tamura. So when I hear that I got engaged, I was learning in Maseches Tamura. So I remember I got engaged, I was on Daf Zayin in Maseches Tamura, and when I got married, I was still on Daf Zayin in Maseches Tamura. So there were two reasons for that phenomenon. Number one, I was busy those couple of weeks getting ready for the wedding. And number two, it happens to be a very, very packed Daf. So that was my engagement Daf, Daf Zayin in Maseches Tamura. So I remember after I got married, a couple of weeks after I got married, so my wife asked me, I should give her like some kind of idea what I do all day. What exactly? Give her like talk out a little sugi with her or something. They tell her in the middle of learning a sugi about the guy's makdish, an animal. The animal is this. The animal is pregnant, gives birth. It's a chatas. It's a tamuris chatas. A yerim chatas. Complicated sugi. I tried to explain it to her. After 5 minutes, she said, "You do well. I'll do what I do well. And, you don't ask me about social work. I won't ask you about meseches tamura." That's been the policy for the last 20 years. Baruch Hashem, it's been working. So anyway, okay. So anyway, get back to the story. So the Mishnah says that the shechita is kshera. So comes the Gemara, and the first Rambam comes, makes the following comment: Amrav Huna, Darash Chiyah Barav Mishmei Derav. The Chiyah Barav said over in the name of his father, Asura Biachila Liyoma, that even though the Mishnah says that the shechita is kshera, don't be misled to think, it's kshera. Well, great, I can eat it right away. No, you can't eat it right away. You have to wait till the end of the day. For that day, at least, the shechita is not acceptable. You can't, not that the shechita is not acceptable, but there's some kind of a technical reason why you cannot eat the meat that day. The Nasbin Chavrai Lameimar and the Chaveirim in the yeshiva, the colleagues in the yeshiva, said, Rabbi Yehuda, that statement of Rav, that limitation of Rav, you cannot eat the meat that day, must be following the Tan of Rabbi Yehuda. That was all we have recorded in the name of Chiyah Barav. So it's that statement, that cryptic statement of Rav, plus the cryptic addition of the Tamidim, who said that number one, you're not allowed to eat that day, which we have no idea why not. And number two, whatever the reason is, that's only Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Nobody else accepts that. So we don't understand the original statement. We have no idea who Rabbi Yehuda is, what Rabbi Yehuda is. What does that have to do with anything? So it's interesting. Taisa on the spot raises another technical problem. Taisa says, of course you can't eat it that day. How are you going to kasher it? You're not allowed to kasher meat on Shabbos. So Taisa explains how you can eat it without kasher. Taisa gives you an answer how you can eat the meat without kasher. Fine. So when all the dust settles, Rav made a statement. Chiyah Barav explained it. And the Tamidim elaborated upon it. And we have no idea what it's all about. We don't know why it's also for that day. And we have no idea why it's Dafka Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara eventually says, how did Rav know it? We have no idea what it meant. We have no idea what it has to do with it. How do we know that it's true? So eventually the Gemara explains it has to be true because of the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah lumps together Shechet B'Shabbos and Shechet Yom Kippurim. There is no question that on Yom Kippurim you can't eat the meat that day. You know why? Because it's Yom Kippur. Obviously you can't eat on Yom Kippur. So comes the Gemara and says, and the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put together these two cases, it's a very strange Lashon HaMishnah. He's lumping together Shech B'Shabbos, Shech B'Yom Kippurim to highlight this idea, to be medayik this idea that just like on Yom Kippur, you can't eat the meat because the mice you have to fast, so to on Shabbos, you can't eat the meat. But the obvious question is, well, why not Shabbos? You don't have to fast. So why can't I eat the meat on Shabbos? And what do the rules have to do with Rabbi Yehuda? So that's how the Gemara starts.
Yom Kippur theoretically could be eaten, or those who aren't fasting could be fasting.
Right, okay, I'm saying right. Okay, I mean, in theory, whoever could be eating on Yom Kippur could violate whatever this is of eating on the Shabbos also. So the Gemara starts to try to figure out what this has to do with Rabbi Yehuda and why is it us in the first place. So the Gemara goes down one whole long route of Hilchos Muktzah. The Gemara raises the question that, well, maybe the animal was Muktzah, because when Shabbos started, So I wasn't planning on shechting this meat. I wasn't supposed to be planning on shechting this meat. So maybe the animal was off limits. And now, just because the animal became, in a sense, on limits on Shabbos, maybe that should be some kind of a problem of Hilchos Muktzah. And that would be interesting because Rabbi Yehuda happens to be a Tan who's very much involved in some of the details of Muktzah, as we spoke about a little bit in the past. So the Gemara spends a whole daf trying to figure out going down the Muktzah road. And eventually the Gemara runs into trouble. So finally, we pick it up from the point that we're interested in for our sugya. In the second of the Maram Mekomos, in Chulun Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, the second line, El Ram Rav Hashi, the real reason behind this Isser to eat on Shabbos and its relation to Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda de Mavashali. It's following the Tan of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah tucked away in all places, not on Masechet Shabbos, happens to be tucked away on Masechet Trumos. This, for some other technical reason, it's not. We learned it in Mishnah in Trumos. Hamavashal b'Shabbos. What's the din of a person cooked on Shabbos? Are you permitted, or when are you permitted to eat this food? So even though we're talking about Shechet b'Shabbos, and the Mishnah in Trumos happens to be talking about Mavashal b'Shabbos, so the first thing we can, as obviously clear, that this question is going to cross malacha, it's going to cross party lines. It doesn't really matter which malacha we're talking about. A malacha was done b'Shabbos. Are you permitted to benefit, to use the result of that malacha or not? So comes the Gemara and explains, that's what's going on in Chiyuv Rav. That's what Rav was talking about. That's the issue of eating the meat on Shabbos. It's following the view of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah say? Hamavashal b'Shabbos, b'sheigeg yoichal b'meizel yoichal divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir held that yes, there is a problem of cooking on Shabbos. If you cook on Shabbos, you can't eat the meat, but not always. You can't eat the meat if you did it b'meizel, if you intentionally violated Shabbos. And now you come forward and say, okay, Rabbi, I did a real thing. I cooked this food on Shabbos. What do I do now? So the Pesach's going to be b'meizel lo yoichal. But what if the person by mistake cooked the meat? No. B'shoigeg yoichal div Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda says, no. B'shoigeg yoichal b'motzei Shabbos b'meizel lo yoichal olamis. So Rabbi Yehuda says, not so fast. Even b'shoigeg, you're not letting eat the meat so fast. You have to wait at least to motzei Shabbos. If it was b'meizel, forget about it, says Rabbi Yehuda. Then you're off limits, Liyalim Vol. You can never, ever eat the meat. So right here, we already have the first important machlokes for our sugya, a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody agrees that there is such a thing, as we're going to now use the phrase for the first time, it's called Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos meaning a malacha was done on Shabbos, the consequences of malacha done on Shabbos. Everybody subscribes, at least in theory, to the concept of Maisa Shabbos. But Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are fighting it out about the details of Maisa Shabbos. Rabbi Meir is saying that Maisa Shabbos, yes, is a problem. B'meizid. If you're Mechal Shabbos b'meizid, then you have a problem with Ma'aseh Shabbos. If you're Mechal Shabbos b'shoigeg, then everything's okay. You don't have to worry about it. You can eat it mamash right away. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, not so fast. Rabbi Yehuda says, even shoigeg is not so posh. You have to wait till Shabbos is over. Not so simple you can eat something just because it was b'shoigeg. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are not arguing about the existence of Ma'aseh Shabbos. They're arguing about the details, just how far Ma'aseh Shabbos goes. So the Gemara takes Rabbi Yehuda Shita and says, oh, now we can begin to understand what's going on in the Mishnah. Now we can begin to understand, well, even though the Mishnah makes this seemingly blanket statement, Shchitas Sheira, it's great, it's gevaldik, you can eat the meat right now. Rav says, no, you can't eat the meat right now. You have to hold off, you have to wait until later, until tonight to eat the meat, because our Mishnah must be following Rabbi Yehuda, to which the Gemara is going to question in a second. If you skip down to the fourth line of the Maram Kamos, at the end of the line, the last word is, V'nokma b'meizid Rabbi Meir. If you're already telling me that the reason behind the Isser of the Mishnah is based on Maisa Shabbos, so why are you limiting it to Rabbi Yehuda? The Mishnah can be Rabbi Meir also. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Why can't the Mishnah be Rabbi Meir? Let the Mishnah be Rabbi Meir, and the Mishnah is talking about HaShoichet B'Shabbos. The guy's amazing. He's a Rosh and Rosh and Machal Shabbos. So maybe the Mishnah is talking about a problem of Maisa Shabbos, and the Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir because the Mishnah is talking about a Shechet B'Meizid. So if you're already invoking the principle of Maisa Shabbos, why are you pinning the Mishnah on Rabbi Yehuda? Why are you forcing us to say the Mishnah is only Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Meir also accepts Maisa Shabbos to some degree. So the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Why? Lo sagadaitach. Diktani dumidiyama kiburim. The whole point of Rav's statement was, the whole source that Rav knew that you can't eat the meat that day was the comparison to Yom Kippur. Ma Yom Kippurim lo shna b'shayi v'lo shna b'meizid lo achil avachanami lo shna b'shayi v'lo shna b'meizid lo achil. Says the Gemara that on Yom Kippur, if you shecht meat in Yom Kippur, you can't eat it no matter what. Whether you shecht it b'meizid or b'shayi, you can't eat it because it's Yom Kippur. So it's totally irrelevant whether you did an aveir b'meizid or b'shayi. Tachas l'maisid, the meat's off limits. So the whole The whole thrust of Rav was the comparison with the Lashon HaMishnah between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So then the comparison has to be complete. So if on Yom Kippur, you can never eat the meat that day, no matter why you shechted it. So to on Shabbos, you can never eat the meat, no matter whether you were a mezid or a shagin. So the only way to commit the Mishnah to the Shita, that it's off limits all the time, is you have to call the Mishnah Rebbe Yehuda Shita. So finally, after the 7-8 lines, the Gemara figured out the cryptic statement of Rav and why it was limited to Afkut Rebbe Yehuda. The bottom line is, you shecht on Shabbos, you can't eat it that day, it's a shail of Maisa Shabbos. This is Maisa Shabbos. But it was B'shoigeg. Yeah, that's Rabbi Yehuda speaking in Ochinami. So then the Gemara just gets into a technical, into really what we call a textual problem. Umi matzis mokus la b'shogeg Rabbi Yehuda? Can you really say that the Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda and shogeg? The Mishnah didn't sound like shogeg. The Mishnah said, the guy shechts on Shabbos, af b'shogeg 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 skila. Usually not chayav skila, but b'shogeg. So the lush of chayav skila conjures up an image of mezid. So Gemara says, no, that's not the end of the world. Hachi gamar, afa pid of mezid is chayav enavshehu. Hachi the b'shogeg shchitasak sheira. Means we'll do a little bit of a surgery on the Mishnah. We'll touch up the lush of the Mishnah a little bit. That what the Mishnah meant is that even though you did an aveira that in theory would carry with it an onesh of skila, if it was done, they're like 10 words, not really missing in the Mishnah, but there's a whole theme in between the words. Kamash Balon, the Mishnah is real Meshuggah. Bottom line is Mishnah Shuggah. So when all the dust settles of the textual, playing around with the Mishnah a little bit, the bottom line is the thrust of Rav's statement still remains that if you shecht on Shabbos, whether Meshuggah or Bemezid, you cannot eat the food, and that's limited only to the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So in order to understand the background of what's going on in this Mishnah, on the background of Shochet B'Shabbos and Mevashel B'Shabbos, we have to really focus a little bit on this term Maisa Shabbos. So Maisa Shabbos, everybody seems to subscribe to Maaseh Shabbos. The machlokes is on the technical details, just how far it goes. Does it cross over into the realm of shogeg? But everybody agrees to Maaseh Shabbos, at least by Mason. The real question we have to ask ourselves, before we can talk about the details of Maaseh Shabbos, where did this sister come from? Why is there a Maaseh Shabbos? So I shechted on Shabbos. So sorry. I'll get it to the achetz. I shechted on Shabbos. I cooked on Shabbos. But Mason, so what? But yeah, why can't I eat the food? So there's one opinion in the Gemara that maintains that the Isser of Maaseh Shabbos is actually an Isser D'Oraisa. That Isser is derived from a pasuk in Chumash, Ushmartem es HaShabbos, ki kodesh ilochem. Ha-kodesh osur b'hanoah, osur b'achila, af Maaseh Shabbos osur b'achila. Just as kodesh, a holy thing, hekdesh, kachim, kavanas, are not allowed to be eaten from, so the Torah is comparing Shabbos to Kodesh. That's one lone shita that we probably don't paskin like. We're going to talk about that shita. That shita is going to come back to life in a couple of sugyas down, a couple of shirim down the line in this sugya. But that's one shita. Mostly everybody in the Gemara disagrees with that shita, and we probably don't paskin that way. What happened? Sounds like a good drusha to me. So the Gemara says, no, the drusha is the exact opposite. Ushmartim es HaShabbos ki kodesh hilochem. He kodesh, v'yemaseh kodesh. Shabbos is a very holy day, but not the food that you cooked on Shabbos. That's not holy. That's not osur. So we most probably paskin the halacha, the Maaseh Shabbos is not an issa d'oraisa. That just pushes the question back. If it's not d'oraisa, so what is it? Then it must be midrabanan. If it's d'rabanan, then we have to ask ourselves, why is it d'rabanan? Why did the Chacham prohibit it? So Rashi, in several places, highlights the same idea as to what is so bad about Maaseh Shabbos. Rashi writes, if a person is going to eat the food that he shechted on Shabbos, if a person is going to eat the food that he cooked on Shabbos, nimtza neheneh me'issim olecha Shabbos. That it turns out that he's benefiting from an aveira. It means there's something wrong about that. There's something just bad about that. That an aveira was done, and now, to add insult to injury, so to speak, you can go in and be neneh from the aveira. That's the nature of the issim. That's what the thrust of the issim, according to Rashi. It's nimtza neheneh min aveira. Now Rashi goes on and explains, and now we can begin to understand what Rabbi Meir is talking about, and we can begin to understand what Rabbi Yehuda is talking about. Rabbi Meir had an interesting idea about Maaseh Shabbos. Rabbi Meir says, b'shogeg yoichol. Rabbi Meir says, if you cooked b'shogeg, shecht b'shogeg yoichol, as long as you did it b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat from it. Why is that? What's that based on? So Rashi explains very simple. Rabbi Meir held, when do we say nimtza nana me'issa Shabbos? When do we call what you did as an aveira? It's an aveira when you do b'mezid. You did something b'shogeg. It's nishken aveira. You're not chayv me'issa. You're not chayv kosher. Nishken aveira. So the person who's nana me'chilul Shabbos is only labeled as a nana me'chilul Shabbos if he's nana for chilul Shabbos b'mezid. Chilul Shabbos b'shogeg is not a problem. Sounds like a very compelling svara. So what did Rabbi Yehuda respond. How come Rabbi Yehuda understood that there's somehow a problem with Ma'aseh Shabbos even b'shayeg? So Rashi goes on and Rashi explains it must be that the nekudas machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is a machlokes in how to understand shayeg. So yada diyam a little bit. Alasdoinus v'alashkagos we klap alchet alamezid v'alashogeg. So there seems to be a fundamental, really a conceptual machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. How do you view an aveira that was done albeit b'shayeg? So Rabbi Meir says, it's nishkin aveira, don't worry about it. You're not chayev skila, you're not chayev kohen. It's not an aveira, and therefore there's no iser of Ma'aseh Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda turns around to Rabbi Meir and says, it's not an aveira. It is an aveira. Harayter, you have to be a korban to be mechaper. You have to be chayzeh b'tshuva on it. First Rambam Hilchos Tshuva writes, tshuvas for aveiras b'shayeg also. It's called an aveira. It's not as bad as an aveira. It doesn't carry the punishments of the aveira with it. But to say that an aveira b'shayeg is nishkin ma'aseh aveira, that's not true. Person forgot it was Shabbos, turns on the light on Shabbos, he was Michal Shabbos. He did an absolute act of Chilul Shabbos. It happens to be, the Torah said, you have to have skila for that act of Chilul Shabbos. There's a different, quote-unquote, kapara, different oynish. You have to be a korban, to be mechaper. But to say that's not a aveira, it's an aveira. I'll be an aveira, don't be shayeg. So therefore, Rabbi Huda holds that when we look to the realm of Ma'aseh Shabbos, what we're really focusing on is, did you do an aveira or not? So Rabbi Huda says, you absolutely did do it on a, you did do an aveira, no question about it. So a koponim, according to Rashi's Bir, it comes out that the nekudas of machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is not really machlokes ruchas Ma'aseh Shabbos. That's not really where the root of the machlokes is. Everybody agrees Ma'aseh Shabbos is the rabban, except that one lone sheet in the Gemara. And everybody agrees the reason for Ma'aseh Shabbos was nimtzenanim in aveira. The machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is how you magda, how do you define, what are the parameters of an aveira? Is aveira b'shege called an aveira or not? According to Rashi, we understand full well why this Isser of being Nenem in Ma'aseh Shabbos ends once Shabbos is over. Because when do we say that it's called being Nenem in Aveira? If I take food and I cook it on Friday night and I eat that food on Shabbos morning, it turns out I am Mamish Nenem from the Aveira. It means I couldn't have eaten the food if not for the fact that it was cooked on Shabbos. That's called Nenem in Aveira. If it's already Tuesday, already 3 days have passed in Shabbos, or you don't even need 3 days, enough time has passed since Shabbos is over, I could have cooked the food now. So you don't really label it anymore as being Nenem and Aveira. So one could argue, the whole idea of Ma'aseh Shabbos makes sense, as Agamar says, B'yoyma. On Shabbos itself, to turn around and eat the food you cooked on Shabbos, that's mamash adding insult to injury. If you eat the food 3 hours later, so in the halachic universe, we could say, you're not Nenem Shabbos anymore. It's like, Migo, you could have cooked the food after Havdalah. So we no longer view it as a direct Nenem Michal Shabbos, since it could have been done after Shabbos is over. So that makes a lot of sense. That's exactly why the Mishnah and the Gemara tells us that once Shabbos is over, basically, it's over. Basically, the Yisur Ma'aseh Shabbos is over. However, that's not exactly what Rabbi Yehuda told us. If you go back to the second of the Maamar Kamos again, Rabbi Yehuda had a double machlokes Rabbi Meir. And the third line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shoigeg yeichav motzei Shabbos. If it's shoigeg, so Rabbi Yehuda says you have to wait till motzei Shabbos. That makes sense, Ma'aseh Shabbos. But b'meizid l'yeichal olamis. If you did it b'meizid, so Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't eat it forever and ever and ever. Why can't I eat it forever and ever and ever? Why not? Why can't I eat it forever? That's not in the realm of Ma'aseh Shabbos anymore. You, Rabbi Yehuda, just got finished telling me that Shayeg and Mezid are both applications of Ma'aseh Shabbos. That was Rabbi Yehuda's whole thrust. They disagreed with Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir's fundamental principle. Ma'aseh Shabbos is aveir-oriented. Rabbi Yehuda just parted ways with Rabbi Meir by adding on that Shayeg is also called Ma'aseh Shabbos. But you, Rabbi Yehuda, concede that by Matzah Shabbos, it's okay. You yourself said the half a line before. You just said, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, B'shogeg yech Matzah Shabbos, which basically translates to mean, once Shabbos is over, it's not called Nenem and Aveir anymore. So how in the same breath, can you turn around and say, B'meizel le'yech ha'olamis? Why not? Once Shabbos is over, it's over. So what is the nature of that, Isser? So al korchach, you have to say, B'das Rabbi Yehuda, B'sab Brisket Torah. There are two dinim that are going on here. Yet you have to read a lot in between the lines. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say all that much. The Mishnah just gives us the facts, but we have to analyze the facts. Rabbi Yehuda clearly is saying there's a second factor over here, nothing to do with Ma'aseh, nothing to do with an aveira that was violated in terms of Nehneh. There's a knas, there's a penalty. You did something wrong, we're going to penalize you. And what are we going to penalize you to do? You're never going to touch this food anymore. You're never going to eat this animal anymore. Knas? Knas makes sense. B'meiz, it doesn't make sense, b'shayeg. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda is now disagreeing with Rabbi Meir on two nekudos. The first point that Rabbi Meir said, that Maisa Shabbos is fundamentally a function of Nenem and Aveira, and therefore Rabbi Meir limited it to Mezid. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, you see, from Ruchas Chuv, from Ruchas Kabanos, Shogig is also called a Maisa Aveira. Therefore, I have to impose a Isra of Maisa Shabbos, of Nenem Maisa Shabbos, even on Shogig. Now Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, and by the way, if it's mazid, you have a whole nother issue to reckon with. It's not just an issue of nenem aveir anymore. Now there's a whole nother problem we have to superimpose. Namely, there's a problem of knas, a penalty. And what's the significance of a knas? If we already asked it out, nenem aveir, what do we gain by asking it out, knas? There's a big addition. It goes forever and ever and ever. Ma'isa Shabbos b'shem aveira, the buck stops here. It ends by Abdullah or shortly afterwards. Once you're in the realm of Kanas, then it goes to the olam void. So basically, Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing on Tunakudas and Rabbi Meir. He's disagreeing on the parameters of the Yisr of Hana. Does the Yisr of Nenem Naveira apply only b'meizim even b'shayeg? And then he's adding a second factor, Rabbi Yehuda may never impose b'chlaw, may never heard of it in the sugya, called the second Yisr of Ma'isa Shabbos. Isser Shabbos, but there is Knas. The Knas Tacha only makes sense with Mezid, and the Knas but goes even Per Shabbos is over. So both aspects of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's Machlokes now touch on two radically different dimensions of Ma'aseh Shabbos. Rashi is the one who introduced to us these two focuses, two different aspects of Ma'aseh Shabbos. Again, in the Gemara, you can't tell anything. The Gemara doesn't tell us what the reason was in the first place. But Rashi believes that there are actually two different factors that are going on over here. Oh, excellent. So that's exactly what Rashi says. Very good. So when I use the phrase eating on Motzei Shabbos, so what I mean, at least at this point, is what we call Motzei Shabbos plus what's called Kadesh Yasu. You may have to talk to cook up that food, because otherwise, then you're still, quote-unquote, being nene from the Aveira. So this all seems to be Shittas Rashi. However,
being in it itself also is in theory a knas too.
So it's not. So that's what Rashi is veering away from that. Haraya, Rashi is saying it applies even by shayeg, according to Rabbi Yehuda. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything intentionally wrong. So why should I make a knas for shayeg? I'm just playing devil's advocate for a minute because yeah. I'm about to come back to you in a second. Or either in a second or in 24 hours or in 48 hours, depending on what.
Right, but I'm saying in theory, this restriction. Although whether you want to label it or not, it creates this isser, which itself is almost a
kibbutz. Okay, so we get to that in a second. So a kopan, just the simple rewriting, we don't have the rashis on the Mem Kromos, so it's hard for me to say my point as well as I want to, but the bottom line, if you go back to Maseches Chulin, and you're seeing the Rashi himself, so Rashi actually spells this out. There are really two different factors that are flung around here. Could one disagree with Rashi? Could one make the sugya in a sense a little bit less complicated? Rashi makes it very, very complicated. Brisky, you have to always ask yourself, are we in the realm of Kanas? Are we in the realm of Maaseh Shabbos? Maybe Rashi added too much of the sugya. Maybe there's an easier way, so to speak, to learn the sugya. Maybe there's only one factor, and one factor alone. Okay, assuming there's one factor, which factor is it? Is everything the nana or is everything the knas? Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Friday, we'll have to go to learn the next sugya, the next part of the sugya, Maseches Gittin, which is going to shed a whole new light on the sugya and see a potentially different way of reading this entire sugya. Okay, Mitzvah Shem on Friday. What's the timing on?